You're listening to the Holistic Spaces podcast brought to you by Mindful Design Feng Shui School, episode 268, Creating a Mindful Bedroom with Feng Shui. Welcome to episode 268 of the Holistic Spaces podcast, where we hope to inspire, educate, and empower you to create your own holistic spaces that nurture and resonate with you. Angie Cho and Laura Morris are the founders of the Mindful Design Feng Shui School. We're also the authors of a forthcoming book, Mindful Living. We teach feng shui online at mindfuldesignschool.com. Be sure to sign up for our mailing list for up-to-date happenings with what's going on with Mindful Design School. So welcome to our first episode of a little series that we're starting called Creating a Mindful Room with Feng Shui or a Mindful Home with Feng Shui. And we're going to go through the bedroom and different rooms of your home. This is inspired by our forthcoming book called Mindful Living. Right, Laura?
Yep. There is a chapter that we have in the book, and as well as a ritual that we've added where we encourage readers, or we will be encouraging readers, to do a mindful scan or audit of their home room by room. So this series is inspired by that chapter, that ritual. It's a way to have you people, readers, all of your listeners, understand and look at a room on an energetic realm or even a symbolic realm. Like not just looking at it in terms of straight up functionality, trying to dive a little bit deeper and connecting with your room on a more mindful but also energetic level.
Yeah. And one of our intentions with the book is to support all of our readers and listeners to find a path to mindfully live in their home with some ease. And what does that mean, living with ease? And I think that a lot of people, especially our listeners, have a very deep connection to their homes, and home is important to them. That's why they're interested in feng shui. And so we hope that through the upcoming series and also through our book, that we also encourage the reader to look a little bit more mindfully, a little bit more detail oriented into looking at their homes with a little bit more detail and a little bit more mindfulness and seeing the meaning and the impact and what is below the surface, like Laura said, beyond the practical. And then really tying that together, like tying in some meaning, some mindfulness in with practicality. And so we wanted to start with the bedroom because it's one of the most important areas in your home. A lot of people think that with feng shui, they should look at their whole home entirely, which is true. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that tend to neglect their bedroom, and they look at how they can improve their entire home or maybe focus on the kitchen or the bathroom or the living room or the places that they entertain in, the places that everyone else sees. But what about your bedroom? Your bedroom is a very private healing space for you, ideally. And it's where you go to sleep and restore yourself, right? Because the purpose of the bedroom is it's your own little space, you and your partner, if you have a partner, but it's your space. It's not something that is really public. And it's also where you go to sleep, you go to rejuvenate, you go to heal your body every night when you go to bed. So it's really helpful to look at that. And I thought Laura and I could talk a little bit about what our own bedrooms symbolize for us before going into three helpful suggestions to look at your bedroom.
I think sometimes people don't spend as much time on their bedrooms as they do, as you were saying, on the more visible, common area places where, you know, it's sort of more of their face to people that come to see them. Their bedrooms are obviously private and personal, and they don't spend as much time, which it makes me a little sad because for me, I think a bedroom, caring for a bedroom, spending the time to really create a space that is comforting for you and supportive for you is a way to honor yourself. And sometimes, you know, people have very busy lives, kids, all these stuff going on, and, you know, their personal life and their caring for themselves and their self-care is sort of put to the bottom, right? It's like the last thing that gets taken care of. And I think the bedroom, the state of the bedroom is an indicator about that. It can often illustrate that. You know, when we're working with clients, the house looks beautiful in some areas and it's great and they spend so much time on other people. And then when, you know, it gets to the bedroom, they've made do with certain things or they've, you know, they've just said, oh, you know, we've been meaning to do this or I want to get to this or I know it's a problem. And the bedroom sort of becomes not a dumping ground, but a space that tends to be a little bit more neglected because a lot of people and often women feel that they can just do without. They'll muddle through with it and that's fine. And so I think for me personally, I made the decision for when creating my bedroom that it was my own space. It's where I actually spent the most time on because it's so important for me to recharge, to heal, to get away from the world.
Yeah. And I've seen that pattern a lot in people where they often will perhaps be looking for a long-term relationship or they're working on healing parts of themselves, but they save their bedroom for the last thing, the last room they'll work on. So I think that that's definitely a trend. And on the other hand, it could be the flip where someone worries so much about their own bedroom and they don't care about what else is happening. And I think that tends to happen in a roommate situation as well. Like I definitely did that more when I lived with roommates. You know, I had my own space, which was my bedroom. And then no one really cared, the roommate situation where no one's changing the toilet paper, right? No one's refilling the toilet paper or no one wants to do the dishes or whatever it is. But that tells us about something. Like you care about what is affecting your energy the most. So it's really insightful to take a look at like how you treat your bedroom, what your bedroom means to you, and how much time and heart do you offer your bedroom? Like, do you actually take the time to make your bedroom really supportive and make it a nice place to go back to? Or is it the place that you neglect the most? And how may that parallel and show you some insight on how you treat yourself?
Yeah. And the bedroom is also, we've talked about this many times, it is a nice manageable space to work on. Sometimes the rest of the home, I know there are a lot of listeners and there's a lot of people when, you know, clients that we work with or people that come to us through various different methods and ways in this school that seem like almost not at their wit's end, but they seem very frustrated that they have so many things that they want to do and they want their house to be this ideal, this beautiful thing. They're not even sure sometimes what that looks like, but they know that they need to do something. And it becomes overwhelming and frustrating and depressing sometimes for some people. And I think, you know, our intention is never to have your home, those kind of challenges and those concerns are there and we get it, but there's ways that you can work with certain parts of your home really strategically. And again, when you start to think about things on a symbolic energetic level. So start with your bedroom, work on your bedroom, especially if you yourself have been feeling lower energy, you've been feeling like you haven't been putting yourself first, maybe everyone else is coming first, or you've had a change in your life situation, maybe like in your status of, you know, there's people go through a lot of different changes, you know, divorce, breakups, you know, kids, new babies, all these things. So these events, these things that happen, you know, sometimes it's not a bad time to re-envision and look at what the bedroom, if it's supporting you the most.
And with all of the suggestions we give across the board, not just today in this episode, but in general, we always want to let everyone know to apply ease to their feng shui in the way that not feeling compelled or required to do everything, because we're not here to tell you to fix and do things and to check everything off the list, because we believe that even one simple shift in your perspective is more powerful than completing everything that we've ever said, right? Or aspiring to do that, because that's really an endless journey to try to do everything, because there's always something more to work on. And that's not what we want you to take away from this. We want you to look at what feels actually like something that you're encouraged to look at. Like, is there something that you get excited about? Like, so anything that we talk about today, if it makes you excited and it's something that's simple for you to do, that may be an indication that that's what you can start to work with. Or alternatively, if you're really scared to do something, maybe that's an indication that it's something that you can explore and you do it step by step. But most of the time, I think, Laura, you'll agree with me that if someone wants to do everything, that in itself can provide a lot of unease and a lot of challenge and actually kind of misses the point, right?
Yeah, I think if people just all of a sudden jump to the fact that, oh, here's a list and I should do all of them, it means that they're really not looking at what's on that list. They're not really exploring the parts of the, you know, breaking it down and really, again, mindfully sort of thinking about the space differently. And instead approaching it just as a to-do list kind of defeats the purpose of the intention and the feng shui part of it. And I think Angie and I have created, rather than go through a list, which is, you know, by the way, we have podcasts where we go through a list. So if you want to go through and listen to one, we have like designing your bedroom with feng shui, but this today in this series, we wanted to take a slightly different approach. So we have, I don't know, a series of questions maybe or explorations to go through specifically about your bedroom that we'll start to ask, query, and then it will encourage you to appreciate your bedroom a little bit more in whatever way. And then we're going to tie it to that exploration, that question, that query. We're going to tie it to something you can do, right? Again, and you don't have to do all of them.
And also, Laura and I really want to reiterate as well, a lot of these explorations that we're going to present, they're all optional. They're also not about what Laura and I think. It's not based on what we think. It's really like asking you, the listener, to explore your wisdom, what you think, what's your experience, because that's the most valuable thing here. So we started with that first question is like, what does your bedroom mean to you? And all of these exercises can be done just by thinking about it, but it's very powerful to take some time and journal about this, to maybe do a combination of contemplating in your mind, which is very ephemeral, like thinking about it, but then also bringing it into the earth realm by writing it down, or maybe even sharing with by using your voice and sharing this with a loved one or someone that you trust. So yeah, one of the first questions we would ask all of you to investigate is, what does your bedroom mean to you? And you can even just, you know, popcorn a bunch of words that give you some insight on how your bedroom feels to you and what it means to you. And having a non-answer is also an answer as well. So if there's no feelings that you have about your bedroom, you could say, nothing comes up for me. So that's totally acceptable as well.
Yeah. And then you can go into some of the questions that we have for explorations. So if you have no feeling about it, or if you said, yes, I feel this way, and you know, you have a series of words and thoughts, you can, you know, think about it in a slightly different perspective as well. And sort of looking at your bed specifically, what are the life events that your bed has gone through with you, let's say? How has it supported you in through life events, the mattress, the bed frame? And like I mentioned before, your life changes. And for some people, they might right now, you those of you out there going through, maybe you've gone through something, a pretty big life event, or something that you have that has caused, you know, maybe pause or shifted your life in some way. And now you are ready to stand back and to focus maybe on yourself a little bit. And so take a look at your bed. Think, what are some of the things that has transpired that I liked, didn't like? Do I need to maybe refresh or reset my thoughts and feelings around my bed?
Or it could also be, can I simply acknowledge?
Yeah.
Instead of neglecting, you could have really warm feelings, you could have conflicted feelings, you could have a combination of feelings. And that's all important to see that your bed has been a friend. And it's the bed is the main character in the bedroom, right? So, what is the life of the main character in this room that's called your bedroom?
Yeah, and so if you have feelings, regardless of your feelings, if you have some that are positive and negative, it's probably mix. Honestly, it's probably mix, right, of things that have come through. You can use feng shui as well to help you move past that event or to acknowledge that event. So one, if you feel that there has been events that you'd rather sort of get past and put behind you, you can use a clearing, a space clearing method. If you have a way of working with space clearing, then do that. Also, you can use a bell. Bells, as you we've because it's a really accessible and easy way to clear. That's why we do it all the time. But really do it right over your bed, ringing a bell 9 times. It has to be metal. It has to have that clear sound. Tincture bells, singing bowls, that kind of way. Ringing that bell over your bed 9 times and listening to every ring reverberate until it is finished. And then setting the intention to look at your bed in to appreciate your bed again, but then to move past whatever event it was. You can also, of course, buy a new bed. You know, that's always an option. You know, if you are feeling that it's time for you to say goodbye and completely start fresh, you can do that. But you also have the option to clear your bed as well.
And you can also just be really cognizant about the life of your bed and accept all of it and no need to clear anything because it's been your friend. Like, I have lots of friends that I wouldn't want to clear their energy, right? Like, even through all the good and bad. And you wouldn't want to have someone erase you either, right? So, that can also be an answer that you don't have to clear your bed. You could just simply thank your bed and acknowledge your bed for all the support it's given you. So, another thing to look at the bed is we talk a lot about what's around your bed because you're in a passive yin or a passive receptive state when you're sleeping, right? Because you are unconscious. And so, it's helpful to look at what's around your bed, specifically the things that are closest to you. So just notice, like, are there things stored under your bed? What are the devices or items you have on your nightstand closest to your bed? What's the artwork that you see when you're in bed? Like, what are all the objects that are around you or things that are around you? Then to have curiosity and notice what are the life events or what are the memories or what are the feelings that you have associated with the things that are under your bed and around your bed. So, for instance, when you wake up, is the first thing you see like that crack in the ceiling that you need to patch? Or do you see something like a really beautiful floral arrangement? Or do you see something that has a memory attachment to it? And then what is the quality of that memory attachment? Because you quickly get accustomed to all the things around you, especially around your bed. So it's helpful to notice what's happening. And then what are the life events and memories and energy and associations you have with the things that you're sleeping over? Like, are you sleeping over your nice linens or are you sleeping over your divorce papers? Or Laura, what are the other things that people store around them or have around them?
I've seen medical equipment, so things that when they were injured or sick, they had, you know, like a brace, or I've seen a folded wheelchair, things like that underneath. I've seen letters, lots of letters, letters and paperwork that is very loaded. So I think, you know, when we work with clients and our students, you look at someone's bedroom and it tells a story. So you can almost do that yourself. It is sometimes it can be challenging for you to step back and be really objective about it. So, you know, sort of going through and as Angie said, like look at the things that are around you. What is that piece of artwork over your bed or no artwork? You know, what does that say? You know, and what is the subject matter of it? And then what you have on your nightstand, what is that saying? If you looked at it and you didn't know this person, like what would that tell you? And then you know, the colors that you've used, like how are they making you feel around your bed? So, you know, you can almost have a sort of try your best to step back and craft a story around how you have appointed, curated, and created that space. And sometimes you may have done it completely with no plan, and that's fine. It just evolves. But it's good to just look at it and see and just say, oh, I never even noticed. Like, I've been keeping this, I don't know, empty bottle of medication that I don't even take anymore because I've moved past it in a drawer next to my bed. You know, things like that. Like, just to really look at it with no judgment, but just to write a story almost about it.
And then ideally, you can let go and say goodbye to the items that maybe don't inspire the kind of energy you want around you while you're sleeping and healing in a restorative state. And there's so many studies now, and I've personally been doing lots of reading on how to reduce stress and reduce overwhelm. And a lot of the findings now revolve around having the most restful sleep that you can possibly have. So these little energetic button pushers around you have been pushing your buttons for a long time. So maybe it's time to move them into a different place or let them go, say goodbye. And then also maybe relocate and swap things around and place things that make more sense that do imbue the aura around you while you're sleeping or the chi around you while you're sleeping, imbue that chi with more of what you do want when you're in this restorative space sleeping.
And then one last question that I think is sort of a general question, and we do talk about it tangentially, like we kind of get there, but we ask yourself, do you feel secure and do you feel supported when you're in your bed, in your bedroom, and then by extension, in your bed? When you are sleeping and lying in bed, do you feel restful and ease, or do you have this kind of low-level buzz of anxiety? You know, do you feel this, yes, obviously taking into account all the stuff that we talked about before, but even, you know, after that, if you set, or you're like, no, you know what? I've gone through my bedroom. It looks so great. It's all, you know, I've spent so much time on the colors and everything. Ask yourself, I still feel, yes, I feel at ease. Yes, I feel grounded. Yes, I feel supported. Great. But if not, you know, there are some things that you can do to improve that. One thing to look at is how is the furniture, the bed being the main character, how is the furniture in your bedroom set up? You know, do you have a big furniture suite in your bedroom because that suite came with your bed and you think you need to have all of those pieces in? And now, you know, maybe you say, you know, I've always felt it's a bit heavy. You know, things like that. Or, you know, and you're not using half of the drawers, or you could, you know, you could downsize it. So looking at the furniture, and that can sometimes determine the amount of furniture you have in your bedroom limits you on how you can position your bed. So is your bed positioned in a way that is supportive? And the main, most supportive way you can place your bed is when your bed is against a wall, your head is against the wall when you're sleeping. And then when you're lying in bed, you look across the room or through the room, and you can see the opening into your bedroom. Like you can see, you have a good, you know, sort of a vista, you know, a good view of what is coming at you from the entryway, the main entryway into your bedroom. And that really does provide a sense of security and ease that you might not even realize, right? It's kind of, it's very subtle. And Angie, what are some other ways if you're feeling that you need that additional support?
Yeah, one of the ways that you can bring some more support into your bedroom is with one of the five elements, and that element is called earth element. And the other four elements are water, metal, wood, and fire. So earth is one of the five elements that has more of the qualities of the actual earth. So stop and think about what earth means to you. So the earth is our home. It's the planet that we're born in, the planet that we inherited. And when we take a step, when we walk, we're touching the earth with every step. And we can trust that with each step we take, the earth won't fall through, that the earth is always there to support us, is very stable, right? We don't get so worried that we're walking on quicksand, that the earth is going to fall beneath our feet. That we always know that we can lie down and be supported by the earth and step and walk and have a path that is grounded. And with trees, or if we think about a tree, earth gives a tree the place to stand. Or with our homes, earth is our foundation. right? It gives the house or the home a place to stand and gives it its support. That is the most important thing when it comes to support. It's how do we start to appreciate the earth element? So even investigating what your connection is with the earth, spending more time with the earth, but also, through bringing in different earth elements in the feng shui. So earth element can be as simple as earthy colors. And earth tone colors, most of the time we connect the color yellow with earth, but there's also terracotta, like a terracotta orange, like more of an earthy orange, or brown, like soil. So earthy colors brought into your home with intention to have more support and balance can support your earth element and support your sleep and your restfulness in your bedroom. Also with a rug is a square rug or a rectangular rug is actually the shape of earth. It's flat and it's supportive and it sits on the earth. So just a rug of any color under your bed can provide a little bit more support and stability. And having a nice texture to the rug actually connects you to your feet and allows you to feel more grounded and more supported. So those are some simple ways. So we reviewed today, what are ways to create a mindful bedroom with feng shui? And so the first was to start to look at what your bedroom means to you, to investigate that, to investigate the life events and the meaning of your actual bed, the mattress, the bed frame, all the components of your actual bed, what, and then to also look at all the objects around your bed, if there are any emotionally charged objects. And then if you feel that you need more support and more self-care in your life, you can position yourself to feel supported while sleeping in bed and also bring in earth element through colors or a rug, like the earth element shape. So those are some ways to create a mindful bedroom with feng shui. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Holistic Spaces podcast. You can tune in every week for a new podcast episode. Be sure to check out our book that's coming out in August of 2024, Mindful Living. And if you like our podcast, please share it with others. You can always support us by getting our book, Mindful Living. It's available for pre-order. You can also check out our certification. We'll be open for enrollment in the fall for the class of 2025. We have lots of mini courses available from time to time. So you can always check us out at mindfuldesignschool.com. You can follow us on Instagram and be sure to sign up for our mailing list. That's the best way to stay in touch with us. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.